shower, little coffee, little light. But we've been very fortunate too.
We've been very fortunate.
Good to see each one of you here.
Yes.
Remember those in prayer. All the ones that's on this listed here, get a vote and look at them. Adele and Tina Adams.
Yeah.
I suppose they're still in Texas.
No, they just flew back yesterday.
Flew back yesterday.
Yeah. Well, maybe a couple of days. Then they have to go back for the procedures.
Okay.
To be done.
So they will have to go back for the procedures. He had one procedure done.
Yes, he had.
And
yes,
it was successful.
And
and they've got another problem they're working on. But go back and remember all of these that's on our prayer list. Joyce Laughlin is about the same. That's the sister-in-law of Sandra. Kim Spencer, I'm supposing she's still about the same. At Huntsville, Alabama. Kathy is still waiting on news from her back doctor to figure out what they're going to do and when. Travis's daughter, April, they ruled out the cancer and the shingles, but the MRI showed something in the middle of her back. And I believe she's going to go Tuesday,
right,
and they'll be looking at what and when and how. Nell's doing okay.
Right.
She hasn't kicked me out yet, so she's doing okay.
Yeah.
Jeff Rich's friend Iris, she is still having problems with her health, and Bill Miller Wally Branch, he's progressing with his broken wrist and foot. I don't know about Linda Carey's grandson Chase. Have heard anything this week. The last I think we heard that they were going to amputate one leg and part of another, and then they said no, they were going to wait. There was a little hope there, and they were going to wait and see how that turned out, and I haven't heard anything since. I think that's about it with the sick. Remember those at Providence Place. Katie Hensley, Mr. and Mrs. Wesley Leathers, and Jimmy Mabry at DiversiCare in Batesville.
Yeah.
Those that we're sad to hear about. Brother Ken Jones of Goodman Oaks Church in South Haven passed away. He was buried on April the 6th.
Tuesday.
Last Tuesday, as Robert says. And Robert says, my preacher friend Bruce Pate's wife, Dale Pate, passed away on Wednesday
of this week.
This week. And I think that's all of those. The birthdays have all passed. Anniversary is yet to come for May and June, which will be tomorrow, I do believe. Congratulations. They've been married 300 years. They've got some cows out of them too. But anyway, congratulations, and we're proud of you. If you don't have haven't gotten your Magnum messages, you might get one of those. There's an article in there on Robert.
Yeah.
He's always alerted us to it, so we can get him now to sign, autograph this Magnolia Messenger for us. But there is an article in there on him there.
Page 20.
Page 20.
Yeah.
It's on the left-hand side. Yeah. Page 20. Isn't that right?
Yeah. Good time.
So get you one of those. There's some back in the foyer. We rejoice at the faithful attendance of Doug Travis and his seeking a job in this area.
Yeah.
Doug is helping someone move today, and they have gone down toward
Meridian.
Yeah. Okay. But if you know anyone that needs somebody to help around the farm, he's a willing participant in that, that's for sure. Are there any other announcements that I have overlooked that needs to be made at this time? Tom and Mary Jean are out today, so our standby song leader is Robert this morning, and the real preacher is Robert this morning, so we know where he's at. Anything else? Let's open the prayer.
Please send a word of prayer.
Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thank you so much for loving us and caring for us as you do. For blessing us with our health that we can be here today. To worship you, we pray in spirit and in truth. Thanking you, Father, for your Son and our Savior who came to the earth. Taught us the things that you would have us to know and died on that cross for. Father, as we sing these songs and as we gather around this table and as we offer our prayers to you, we pray, Father, that they'll be acceptable to you in accordance with your will. Thank you again for caring for us and for your love. Forgive us of our sins, we say and bless in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir. Thank you. I used to do this all the time in the congregation, lead singing and preach as well and do the Lord's Supper too, for that fact, in central Mississippi. Good to be with you. Would you turn with me to number 220? We're going to sing some songs today about the difficulties of life that we sometimes face, and they don't give up. They don't quit. 220, please. I bring my sins to thee, the sins I cannot count, that all may cleansed be in thy once open fount. I bring them, Savior, all to thee. The burden is too great for me. No word shall need it be, thou knowest all so well. I bring the sorrow laid on me, O suffering Savior, all to thee. O suffering Savior, all to thee. My life I bring to thee, not be my own. O Savior, let me be thine, thine with that alone. My heart, my life, my all I bring to thee, my Savior and my King, to thee, my Savior and my King. Let all the church say, amen. Would you turn with me before our Lord's Supper Day, number 51. I say 51, 52, number 52. I had a distant relative, George Rawson, who wrote this song back in the 1500s. And it stood the test of time. It's been put in song books ever since. And it's a part of the Lord's Supper time. Number 52. By Christ redeemed, in Christ restored, we keep the supper of the Word and show the death of our dear Lord until He comes. His body given in our stead is seen in this memorial bread, and as we drink we see the blood until He comes. And thus that dark betray all night, with the last advent we unite by one bright chain of loving right until He
The reading this morning is from John 6, 47 through 56. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me has everlasting life. And I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how could this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eat my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him.
Heavenly Father, we gather around this table today. We're mindful of the great sacrifice that was made for us. This bread represents that broken body that hung on the cross for us. As we partake of it, Father, we pray that we do so in a manner pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this fruit of the vine, which represents that precious blood that was shed for us. Again, Father, we pray that you partake of this on the manner pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Lord's Supper being completed, we have an opportunity to give back this time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for the many blessings you give us each and every day. Father, we pray that the money collected here will only do good and glorify your name. Father, we pray that we'll give back with a cheerful heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
A wonderful time to be gathered, and we look forward to the services being increased in number as we go along here now, because this pandemic seems to be abating us, and so we look forward to more and more of our brethren return. Number 230, please. 230. 230. I want to be a worker for the Lord. I want to love and trust His holy word. I want to sing and pray and be busy every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray in the vineyard. I will work and I will pray, I will labor every day songbook, invitation song number 226, Is Thy Heart Right with God? Number 226. And right across the page there, let's sing together 224. I love thy kingdom, Lord, the house of thine abode, the church our blessed Redeemer saved with his own precious blood. I love thy church, O God, her walls be
said today, but I didn't want to sing through it all the time. Anytime we talk about a lesson of study, and last Sunday night we were talking about how the servant of God is to be faithful to carrying out the will of the Lord in his life. And we close out with a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 4. An unusual set of words that are used there, but statements that are made and important for us all to follow anyway. We read there in regard to those who have somebody who comes to the church there at Corinth, and they are not teaching the Christ. Some of them come and they don't teach the gospel. Some of them come and they don't represent the way of the Lord in an accurate way. How should we treat them? And the Apostle Paul there deals with the idea of how we are to treat them as brethren of the church there at Corinth. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 4, and he closes that verse by saying, we are to bear with them. Bear with somebody who doesn't believe the gospel. Bear with somebody who doesn't believe the Christ. Bear with somebody who's not informed about the teaching of God's word. He tells them to bear with them. Go with them in the sense of, instead of being quick to criticize and quick to condemn,
which we know of generations gone by, there have been those that did that. They were quick to tell somebody, if you don't believe what I believe, there's no hope for you. They were quick to tell, if you don't believe what we teach right here, there's no hope for you. Instead of what Paul there tells the brethren at Corinth to do, bear ye with them. Being kind to somebody. Being helpful to somebody. Asking the question, why do you come here not believing in the scripture, the gospel, the good news? Why would you be living your life without accepting the Christ whose tomb is now empty, as he said it would be empty on that third day? Why would you be a person who comes this way and doesn't consider the teaching of how to live from day to day by way of the gospel teaching of the Lord? Instead of jumping on them and riling them up, instead of being angry toward them and casting them out, bear ye with them. When we find ourselves bearing with the Lord in his right way,
we find a different attitude than that attitude of, I'll condemn you because you don't believe what I believe. I'll condemn you because you haven't said what I say. I condemn you because you're not in this church this way. Wait a minute. Maybe they need to be in the Lord's church. And that's the only one that we defend. That's the only one our sermons are about.
The Lord's church. Did not Jesus promise to build his church in Matthew 16, verse 18, saying, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of torment, the gates of hell, shall not prevail against it. And the word hell there is used the word of Hades. It represents the place of the dead. Jesus is saying, even my death will not prevent the establishment of my church. And it didn't. His death occurred. His resurrection occurred. He went back to glory. The Hebrew writer tells us that when he went back to the glory, the Heavenly Father set him at his right hand and gave him a name that is above every name. Indeed, we find ourselves praising Jesus Christ, who came and gave himself for us, and who said, I will build my church, and even my death will not prevent it. And it didn't prevent it. On the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, when the disciples were gathered together, these men had suddenly the sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house wherein they were sitting. And they knew that the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy in Joel chapter 2 was coming to pass. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. The Spirit of God was poured out upon them, and they were able to speak in languages they had never studied. Languages they did not know, languages they could not speak. Without the help of the Lord, they could never speak it. But in Acts chapter 2, verses 8 through 11, the people there stood just amazed. And they talked to one another as they were standing there hearing him speak. How do we understand every man in his own tongue? The wonderful works of God. How do we understand him? You see, they were people who had come from various countries and various places, Jewish people as they were. They nevertheless had picked up all the dialects of those local places. Yet these apostles were able to speak in their dialect, in their language, clearly and precisely, the wonderful works of God. What did the apostles do on that day? Instead of getting up and saying to the people, listen here, you better listen to what we have to tell you. Instead of being angry and resisting to them and telling them that we'll call the God of heaven down upon you, they spoke to them the wonderful works of God. They talked about the prophets and how the prophets predicted that the virgin would bear a son and he would be Emmanuel, God with us. And how that he came, and now that he was put to death by wicked and lawless hands. The Bible tells us that as they heard this, they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles standing there, "What shall we do?" What they need to do to make up for that betrayal of the Son of God and putting him to death. What they need to do. Simple as the explanation was given to them in Acts 2:37. It is said that as they were there standing and listening to the things that were being said, and they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They were told, "Repent ye, turn away from this way of life. Turn away from the joy that you have that you put him to death. Turn away from the fact that you put him to death. Turn away from the fact that you buried him in this tomb, which is now empty." David's tomb, he says, is not empty. But his tomb, Jesus' tomb, is empty. He's resurrected from the dead. He goes before us. And it is the case that we're responsible to him. "Men and brethren, what shall we do? Repent ye. Turn away from those ways of life that you believed before and practiced before and brought about the death of the Son of God. Turn away from those ideas. And be baptized. Be immersed, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to as many afar off, even in Christ, as the Lord our God shall come." It says that on that day, 3,000 of them gladly received his word and were baptized. It is said in Acts 2:47, "And the Lord added daily to the church." Which church? The one that Jesus said he would build. In Matthew 16:18, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell, death, will not prevail against it." It'll be built. And here it is being built. And here's the promise that he tells them. You come to the Lord, you come to his way, and he will add you to his church. Day by day, those that are being saved. The next place that the church talk about being saved is over in Ephesians 5:23-25. And it is noted regarding Jesus that he is the Savior of the body, which is the church. He's the Savior of that bride. And so that is the hope that you and I have as we come together to worship today. We worship him. We bow before him. We praise him for his help and aid in every way. We love his kingdom. We teach him. We sing about those things and encourage one another in those words, because that's the way of life that we should follow. What kind of work should we do? What kind of praise should we give? What kind of effort should we make? We should bear with them. We don't believe it at all. If there were a member of the family that just denied that way and did not follow that way and follow that will, what would be the case for just jumping on them right and left every time you see them? Will that not drive them further away from us? Would you and I like to go around somebody that always is a critic, always is a criticizer of what you're saying and doing, what you're trying to accomplish? You love it. You want to be around that person all the time. No, you do not. You want to
have less to do with that individual. You won't choose another route to go than where they are in business or where they're in activities, where their home place may be located. You don't want to go down that road that way because you know negative, negative, negative is the way they're going to talk to you. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, he tells us the following in this. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, and to perceive the words of understanding. To receive the instructions of wisdom and justice and judgment and equity. To give subtle to the man and simple, and to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand the proverbs and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Is there anything I've said thus far in this lesson today that's been verified by the verses that I've shared with you? Has it been anything but the fear of the Lord, the beginning of knowledge? Have you found yourself saying, I don't like that at all. I don't enjoy that at all. I'm not coming back to hear that preacher again for a while. Is that your reaction to it? Or is your reaction, I read this in the Bible for myself. I read God's plan for the church in myself. I want to be a member of that church of the Lord. And I want to be a person who bears with those who disagree with me. I want to bear with them. I want to raise a question or two of them. I want to talk with them in peaceful ways. I want to bear with them. Read it for yourself in 2 Corinthians 11 at verse 4. And in fact, when we see this, we have a wisdom that comes from above. He says in verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. I heard a story back many years ago of a young soldier who was overseas in a foreign country. They had some time for R&R. And all the buddies of this young man were talking about what they were going to do, where they were going to go, who they were going to see, what they were going to drink, and what they were going to participate in while they had R&R. Rest and recuperation. And that young man listened to what they were saying. And he asked one, what will be the day of the week that they will be meeting and doing this R&R? Why, it's a day that's off. It's a day of Sunday. One of his buddies, he replied, I just cannot go. They began to inquire of him, why can you not go with us? We talked about this. We talked about it in your presence. We've laughed about it, enjoyed the ideas of what might come about. And he said, it's Sunday. My mom and dad are back in America. But they're not idle on Sunday. They'll be a part of the church services of the Lord. And somewhere along those services, they'll stop and they'll have a word of prayer. And my dad will have visited with whoever leads the prayer that day, or if he doesn't know who is leading the prayer that day, he will stand up before that prayer is said. And he'll remind them where I am and what I'm doing to defend our country from tyranny and from dictators who are set upon taking it completely away from God. And they will all stop at some time in that prayer, and they'll be praying for me. I just cannot go. I cannot go and participate in the drinking being done when the Lord opposed that. I cannot go and participate in the activities being done with fornication and adultery that the Lord did not defend or being practiced. I cannot go with you and laugh and enjoy an occasion of the dirty and smutty statements and jokes that are too tough when others are over there praying for me. I cannot go. Does that sound a little bit like the fear of the Lord? And my son, hear the instruction of thy father, forsake not the law of thy mother. They shall be an ornament of grace about thy head, and chains about thy neck. And the question was raised in that sermon that day, how far do those chains reach? He said, I don't know. But I know one night, on a Sunday, over in Europe, those chains reached as far as a young man's heart. He remembered what his father and mother were telling others about him, asking them to do for him in a word of prayer. Brethren, how we treat others will have a result to it. They will either avoid us in the future, they will not talk to us at all in the future, they will avoid us forever. Or it may be an apology that said, I didn't mean for it to be understood that way. I didn't mean for those words to come out of my mouth. I meant to bear with you and help you along the way to see what the Word of God actually says, whatever the subject is that you bring up. That's the way of life I'm going to live. That's the way of life each one of us should live. That's the way of life each one of us should practice. What a blessing it is to have you all with us today. And as we sing this song, if you're subject to Jesus' invitation, come to him. The waters of the baptistry are warm for you to be baptized into Christ today, to begin that new life and journey. If you've done that in days gone by and you need to be restored back to that way of life today, it's a good time to begin. Would you come as we stand together and sing 226. Have thine affections been nailed to the cross?
Is thy heart right with God?
Dost thou count all things for Jesus but loss?
Is thy heart right with God?
Is thy heart right with God?
Washed in the crimson blood, cleansed and made holy,
humble and holy,
riding the sight of God.
Hast thou dominion o'er self and o'er sin?
Is thy heart right with God?
Over all evil without and within?
Is thy heart right with God?
Is thy heart right with God?
Washed in the crimson blood, cleansed and made holy,
humble and holy,
right in the sight of God.
Our all thy power under Jesus' control,
is thy heart right with God.
Every moment of thy in thy soul,
is thy heart right with God.
Is thy heart right with God?
Washed in the crimson blood, cleansed and made holy,
humble and holy,
right in the sight of God.
Let's close today. Thank you for being here. I hope that you benefited from the study of our lesson today about how to treat other people in the family, in the community, in the neighborhood, where we'll go in life. Would you turn with me to number 11 in our songbook, please, and close with number 11 as a hymn this morning, a beautiful prayer. Let's sing the first and last verse of number 11, verses 1 and 3. Good to be with you. Brother Tommy, would you lead us in a word of prayer to close our service today?
In the Bible we read of a beautiful prayer, a prayer sent to heaven above. It was prayed by a heart that was laden with care and filled with such wonderful love. When he was praying, Jesus was praying, in the Garden of Eden. He said, Loving Father, and he will let this cup pass from me. Though he was thinking of grief death would bring to his own. Deep was his sorrow. When
Jesus
he was praying alone.
Dear Father, you were so like to be, and you blessed with forgiveness for the best like thy Son Jesus died for our sins. Dear Father, we thank for all the blessings you have given us, the praise of this country, the praise you have been with us this country, that they look to thee for guidance, which is in worship they have thy fear and persecution. Praise you. Fields fighting for our friends. And be with them. Dear Father, pray that each one of us today that will benefit our lives and bring us closer to thee, closer to each other. We pray that you'll forgive us our sins and to be with us. Christ, and we pray.
Amen.
Well, Jim, did you have any damage, I believe?
Yeah.
A little water. It did rise up just a little bit.
Did you get your swing tire back?
No, Joey, no Frazier and Bob came over and took it away and then put it on a platform. Thank you.
She just looked and didn't fall out back.
Oh, my God.
She fell back. She would have got real
back.
No, I got her real back. I told her, please. She moved up in here. Shoes would have to fall off in the ditch in that well. And that
you just throw them there now?
Yeah. No, we didn't do that. We got brothers that got up.
My son did to his wife's old horse. He gave it over to the back side of the place. And I got it.
She had a priest over to her house.
Good location. I've been in the Philippines. I put the things up and I forgot about you being back here.